Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH and TNA post-show. We're sorry we're a couple minutes late. My internet is about as good as Logan Paul's moral compass, but we are here with the ROH TNA post-show. I have no F's to give about that, but please get in your super chats. No Humper Chats tonight for this portion of the show. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. We've got so much coming at you. We're going to talk about the fallout before Death Before Dishonor, this episode of Ring of Honor, which, as SP3 was saying, pretty much what you guys are saying. This ep was so smooth and much better than usual. C. Delgado saying that felt like an actual episode and not random matches thrown together. More of that, please. So we're with you guys on that for sure. We're going to talk all about this, but leave a thumbs up on that video, and we will also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much went up there, unfortunately, including a Layla Hirsch injury news break update. Kind of was vague at the time. We know a little bit more about what's been going on with her now, but we saw that happen in front of our eyes on Death Before Dishonor. We were like, her shoulder's blown up. that happened immediately, but she's a badass, so she fought through it. Athena with her, I mean, just so injured leg. This women's division is so beat up. So we're going to get into all of this and more. But SP3, the chat's saying what you said right before we went on air here. Like, this felt like a more cohesive episode. If this is the new era, sign me up. Let's keep this momentum going. But kind of overall, what were your thoughts on what we got out of Death Before Dishonor? And what were your thoughts about the follow-up that we got tonight?
I actually had expectations going into this show, which is very weird on a Thursday that I have expectations.
I was going to say a risky little move from SP3 right there. Dang, having expectations.
Hey, it's because Sean does great reporting. He reported the more care and consistent creativity. We had a great Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view. So I actually had expectations. I tempered expectations, but I had expectations, and then, you know, they gave us the lineup for the show, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a little bit of what I talked about with Death Before Dishonor, where they're giving you kind of the wrestling buffet. You got two guys of a certain stature, of Brian Cage and Rocky Romero. That feels like an actual main event. If you know Rocky Romero and all the great work he's doing in CMLL, all the great work he's done in Plaz in New Japan, and he's a former Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion against Brian Cage, who's a guy that we've said for weeks should be in the either world title scene or TV title scene. So it was good to see him in singles action here. They gave us a high flying matchup advertised with Beast Mortos and AR Fox. They gave us a Techers battle between Wheeler Yuta and Anthony Henry. So as soon as I saw the lineup, I was like, okay, my tempered expectations may have rise from like give me a 6 show to a 6.5, 7 show. And then they gave us angles, they gave us some promos. This felt like an episodic wrestling show and not ROH Dark. So I was pleasantly surprised that my expectations, although tempered, were fulfilled on the show.
Do you feel like we went from the like Ring of Honor feels like AEW Dark era to maybe the Ring of Hotties era tonight? Is that where your head's at?
Indeed, the Ring of Hotties is here and we are living in it. It felt very much like, instead of, you know, Ring of Honor under Tony Khan feeling like WWE ECW, it felt like Tony Khan produces Ring of Honor on HDNet. I felt like it was Ring of Honor at HDNet style with the way this show played out.
Not mad about it. Not mad about that at all, but let's dive in. We do start off with this video package kind of recapping Death Before Dishonor, which I always think is a good call because if you drew people in with the pay-per-view, they might be like, hey, I'm going to stick around, right? I subscribed for the month anyway. Let me poke around and see what's up. So a nice way to start this, and even that shows us like we had a creative thought process with laying out this episode, which it feels like has been missing for a long time, but we do start. This is one of my few complaints, was this probably could have been the main event here, but we'll talk about what this all leads to. We have our ROH six-man tag championships, Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs defeating the Iron Savages and Jack Jameson, who I've been complaining for a long time. Like, are you a trio? Why aren't they getting a push? We see them do great work every week, but they're essentially 50-50 or their wins aren't leading to anything. We got something out of this, and they win via pinfall. They get that Iron Claw slam on Jack Jameson, but this unfolded in a really funny way, and where we get a Sammy Guevara return coming into this picture, which is kind of silly. But let's start just talking about the match, SP3. We have champions around. That's neat. We have not seen those six-man titles defended since they were merged, so nice that they're back here. I'm not like a fan of throwing it on Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs, but if they're going to defend them, that's a whole lot better than them holding it hostage and winning them because Texas, like, do things with them, tell stories with them. We have a defense here. That's a pretty good start. What did you think of our match? The Von Erichs are fun. The Von Erichs do a good job here.
Yeah, like I was into it, and you know when we talked about the matchup that would happen on Battle of the Belts, we both were kind of on the same page of wanting Undisputed Kingdom to win the titles. But then watching it, Battle of the Belts, I was like, oh man, it's the Von Erichs in Texas. They're not gonna lose. Yep. That was my first thought. I was like, the bell rang, and I was like, oh, damn, my prediction's not going to come true. The Von Erichs in Texas, they're not going to lose this with their dad in their corner with Dustin Rhodes, another famous Texan also in the place. And the way that crowd got behind them, it was a really fun matchup. The Undisputed Kingdom made good foils for them, and that was a good matchup there with Dustin and Von Erichs, the big triumphant babyface celebration at the end. So it was nice from there, that last kind of Ring of Honor matchup that we saw from last week outside of Death Before Dishonor, that they followed up here, and it made sense by the end of the show why this was the opener. So I will say, I also was like, oh, I thought this was going to be the main event when I saw the Iron Savages come out. I was like, well, that's weird. I thought that was the main event for this show, but then it made sense by the end of the night. But this match was just fine. I don't know what the Iron Savages did to earn this opportunity. I wish they would have set it up by saying it was like an open challenge or something like that.
Open, at least wash it away. Yeah,
at least wash it away and just say it was an open challenge for anyone. They want to be fighting champions. So it was good for them to get the win. I'm once again impressed by Marshall Von Erich. He just got that size. He's not the cleanest. He's still green, but he just got that size and that energy doing standing moonsaults and stuff, doing the wildest looking drop kick where he doesn't kick them with both legs. He like hits them with one and then the other one almost hits you. It's crazy. I like him. I just like it. I dig it so much. And I like Ross as well. He's more polished. And Dustin, I thought Dustin would pretty much play the role of the hot tag guy, but I liked him playing the babyface in peril in this matchup. So that was a nice change of pace from what they did at Battle of the Belts. So overall, it was fine, but it led into a very first time I think I've seen on a Ring of Honor, and I've watched all these Ring of Honor shows since it came back last year. I think it's the first time that they did first time since the Universal Studios era that they did an angle to end the show. They didn't do a match. Yeah. Like, it was just, it was like my blood. When when Cage and Rocky Romero ends, I'm like, okay, that's not the end of the show. Why is that? Why am I not seeing the graphic to end the show? I was like, what are we doing? And then Dustin comes out. I was like, oh, we're doing that tonight? Because I heard the spoiler and I was like, oh, we're doing, I thought we were going to wait till next week to do that. But no, we're doing that tonight. Okay. All right. Cool.
Let's talk about that closing angle. So Sean had said, I don't think he reported it, but he had said on stream that Sammy Guevara was going to come back in the most random way possible. He had reported that there were creative plans for Sammy Guevara, but he was like, LOL, this is random on stream. And I was like, huh, maybe that means he's not Jericho's lapdog for like the first time in his career, but I could not have predicted this in a million years. You had Dustin Rhodes coming to the ring to cut a promo. He's kind of just giving a babyface promo, talking about feeding off the energy of the crowd here, talking about doing this alongside the Von Erichs in Texas, and this is one for the books. And he said he had been on one last ride for 5 years now, which I really liked that. And then Evil Uno comes out, frustrated, makes sense based on how things have been going, asking him if he hadn't had enough after 5 decades, and saying that he and the Von Erichs stole 6-man titles from them. And Evil Uno says that he doesn't care about their last name or their family or who the Von Erichs are, because he's been working his ass off week over week, and calls Dustin selfish and the most selfish man in professional wrestling. So you get John Silver and Alex Reynolds attacking Rhodes. And who comes in to make the save but Sammy Guevara, who lays out Evil Uno and takes out John Silver with a Cody Cutter or an Os Cutter, depending on what school of thought you come from. But you get Rhodes and Guevara standing tall after the broadcast. And this, whilst random, I feel like there's some good in and some bad. I would say if you have a trio, you shouldn't need a random dude to run in and make a save for you. You have two people that should be backing you up right there. So the idea that you have an even numbers game and Sammy Guevara still has to come in and run someone off seems backwards to me, especially because Sammy Guevara, I'm not like, man, he's basically Lance Archer size. Like, that doesn't quite make sense to me. But, you know, Sammy's an interesting one because I don't think there's anyone that says, I look at his in-ring and I don't think that guy has what it is. Like, it's always been character-based. It's been kind of promo-based. They really, he's been so in and out with Jericho. The Four Pillars story, they couldn't really decide if he was a face or a heel. Like, that was all a mess. Then he came back. He did some really cool, crazy stuff in a couple of matches. Has the unfortunate suspension that seemed like it was over a miscommunication with Jeff Hardy. And I think him coming back to Ring of Honor, giving some breathing room, like maybe Jungle Boy got when he went to New Japan and joined the worst faction in the world in House of Torture. Like, I think maybe him finding a minute to reestablish himself and say, okay, I am a main roster talent, but I need to figure out who I'm going to be on the main roster. Let me sort that out here. I think it would be something that's really good. And let's be real, couples travel together. If Tay Mello wanted to come back to this women's Ring of Honor division, yes, please. Her and Layla Hirsch, her and Rachel Ellering, her and Athena, her and Billy Starks. Like, I'm all for that. I still like my fantasy booking of she should be in Serena Deeb's dojo, but that's my own little hang up. But what did you think of this closing angle? The only reason it didn't catch me by surprise was because I saw the spoilers, but this felt completely out of left field. Kind of interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic about this. And I agree with you. Sammy Guevara is a very exciting kind of in-ring performer. He's got the athleticism. He's got the high flying. His timing is always good with like the different type of moves that he does in the ring. It's always just been about kind of his either his character or his kind of like mental outside of the ring. Is sure. Like his maturity, because you know he's had instances like I go I date back like all the Sammy Guevara, like the first instance that I really heard it's Sammy in AEW, not really wanting to go with what the AEW plan was the whole Jericho MJF Inner Circle storyline where he walks out and he's supposed to go to TNA because they're working with TNA at the time and he's going to work in the X division. And he basically rejected it and said that was the report. The rumor was that he rejected it. He didn't want to go to TNA at the time. And that was like the first instance of anything involving Sammy outside of the ring. And it just felt like he was always going to be kind of the Jericho sidekick. And this guy so much agrees with Kate so much that the learning tree stuff does not work, that he's willing to go to Ring of Honor to stay away from it. Bravo, sir. Bravo. Yeah. I gotta give it to you. He said, I do not want to become AEW's Big Show and have to turn heel again on a return, because he literally just did that in December of this year. He had to come back randomly and turn babyface after he just turned heel at Grand Slam last year on Jericho after he lost to him, which is still a mind-boggling decision. Why did he lose to Jericho at Grand Slam? He should have beat Jericho at Grand Slam and then turned heel. He should have. It was all the decisions with Sammy, like post the Four Pillars storyline. It needs to be its own documentary because it's been so up and down, all over the place.
Sammy Guevara, you were in the Don Callis family for 10 minutes. What was that like? Like, honest to God.
He was in it for like 10 minutes and then he immediately left. They had a baby, and then he turned on the Don Callis family, kind of turned on him, and then he turned on the Don Callis family. It was so weird. Everything about that was just so real. It feels like a fever pitch, but a fever dream. But I like this. I do like this. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I do like this decision because it felt like Sammy coming in is like a big kind of watermark moment of this new era of Honor that I was saying in my head and hyping it up on social media, that this was kind of the beginning of a new era. Having someone who has that stature, who is a former three-time TNT champion, who has that credibility of being a AEW main roster star, coming over and making the choice to come to Ring of Honor, it is a big deal. It is a big deal, and he can be a player, whether it be in the TV title division, whether it be in the world title division. I like the way they kind of explained it, where they explained it that Dustin said, oh yeah, I had the Von Erichs go home, so I have no backup here. So it set up him heading the 3-on-1 assault. It was kind of like Dustin Rose was like the dad and he sent his kids home with the mother. He was like, it's past their bedtime. I'm going to have a couple of drinks with the boys, but I got something to say out to the crowd. But that's how it worked, and he needed some backup, and someone in the bar was just there. He just returned from the army, and he went to help him out when he got jumped in the bar. That's great stuff. I mean, that's it. I made that whole angle up in my head, and it makes sense to me.
I love it.
but I'm in. I like Sammy here. I think that it is going to benefit him, and it's going to definitely benefit Ring of Honor.
I agree. I feel like him versus Landis Jr. is calling the name. Like, also, Sammy Guevara TV champ just feels right. Like, I don't know if it's because he had a mid-card title on the main roster and it just feels like it makes sense here, but he just feels like the perfect guy for that type of belt. Like, it does just seem to make sense to me. So, good stuff and exciting development there, and exciting to get some chats from you guys. Like Shane Monster saying, TMD Kate, SB3s to the dome. Sports reference, Kate. I know sports. Anthony Henry had a night. Character building. Tekker fight with Yuta. More character building. Beef. Yeah, this
beef. I'm a beef guy. Let's
you're
go,
a beef fan. Your team beef. I'll take it. But we're going to go along to this guy who keeps impersonating you, SP3, at this point. ROH World Champion Mark Briscoe cutting a promo alongside his baby boy, Jay Briscoe, not the one that Kyle O'Reilly was told to babysit, not his belt there, his actual baby boy. But he puts over Roddy Strong really well in this and says that at ROH Death Before Dishonor, he still had it claimed and he would continue to celebrate his win. So another good symptom of things is you got Pikachu Briscoe over there. Is that what I...
How's that, baby? I got the win in Ring of Honor, and I want to shout out my big man, my conglomeration, Kyle O'Reilly, Big Tom, and our main man OC. We miss you, baby. Even though we team with you the next day, but we miss you, baby. I'm bleeding out here. I don't know. I got a little bit of salt in my beard, and I got a little Pikachu Briscoe here, and it's gonna be a good time.
I will be your Kyle O'Reilly anytime you want. But again, world champion having a presence on the show, who would have thought? Encouraging signs here, guys. Many more of you watching than were at the beginning of the show, and we appreciate that support. So a quick reminder to get in those super chats, not Humper Chats tonight, if you would like to comment on anything to do with Death Before Dishonor, Ring of Honor in general, or the show tonight. Please leave a thumbs up. It's important on all of our shows, but no show more than this because it helps people find us in the algorithm, and we're the little post show that could. So please, please do. And also head over to FightfulSelect.com. So much news happening. The Warner Brothers exclusivity window is up. We've got SummerSlam around the corner. Tons of news going in and out of SummerSlam. I think it's safe to assume some marquee talent will be returning. That's not a report, but deductive reasoning will tell you. So stay tuned to Fightful Select. Also on the free tier, unfortunately, the news about Layla Hirsch broke earlier today. Kind of a bummer one, but we always do put injury news on the free tier as well as anything to do with sexual misconduct, which is way too frequent of a thing that happens over there, or any sort of sensitive news like that. And some stuff about like European wrestling and the indies. A lot of GCW news breaks over there, a lot of progress news and stuff like that. So stay tuned to that free tier if you can't support with the $5 a month. But I will say, it is the best $5 in the business. I mean, that's all.
I agree.
Shane Monster, you're not condescending. That was fine. I was playing with you. But I do know sports. I'm not up on all of SP3's basketball metaphors because he comes in with a lot of them, but I do my best. I do my best out here. But let's keep it going. We have a flight attendant in the house, a top flight attendant in the house with Ms. Layla Gray being repackaged with Top Flight here, Dante and Darius Martin. Interesting that Action Andretti is not a part of this. Are we seeing delineation? Or will I be mad about it next week? Tune in to find out. But in this case, we have a tag team against two of my favorites, LSG, Leon St. Giovanni, who was a part of the Ring of Honor crew that shut down right before Tony Khan bought it. Nice to see him getting an appearance here. And GKM, who's a part of Ace of Space Academy, an outstanding talent here in the Northeast. I love watching his matches. So much charisma. But this, of course, was all Top Flight's night. The flatliner from Darius on GKM in this. This was exactly what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to serve as an establishing rep for Top Flight. I'm hoping that means they know what division they're working in and what they're going after. This tag division could be great. It could, because I know sports so much, SP3, it could hoop if they wanted to. If they put the gas behind it, it could hoop. But we'll have to see if they actually follow through with clarity and around tag and trios. I actually like Iron Savage's working as a trio like we saw tonight with Jack Jameson, because I think Jack Jameson adds a lot. And I like Top Flight being a tag team. No offense to Action Andretti. I just feel like we were waiting for both of these guys to be healthy for so long that now they are, and I want to see them be a brother tag team so bad. Very happy to see just literally my friend and a fantastic wrestler at LSG getting a little love here as well. But we get kind of an establishing rep here from Top Flight. What were your thoughts on this?
This was a pretty good showcase for Top Flight here. I like the addition of the Top Flight attendant, Layla Gray.
Too. She looked great.
She looked awesome. In the world, I was just like, I'm with this. I am with this 100%. I did not know that a top flight attendant was needed for Darius and Dante Martin. I think both guys are so talented and they could be one of the best tag teams in Ring of Honor or in AEW, but it just fit and it made sense to give them some type of character that goes along nicely with their already established name and not make them just another brother tag team that does high flying moves, because that was their gimmick before. That was literally their gimmick. Brother tag team that does high flying moves. Top flight, get it? Now we have a top flight attendant. This just works. I love the whole graphic that they had for them at the beginning. All of this works. I do agree with you. In Ring of Honor specifically, especially because they have this winning streak that they keep talking about. They talked about it on the 0 Hour for Death Before Dishonor. They talked about it here. They're undefeated in Ring of Honor tag team action in 2024. They need to be specifically a tag team in Ring of Honor. They could use Action Andretti if they're still going to appear on AEW and you want them in the trios division over there. But in Ring of Honor, tag team is the way, and they feel kind of destined to be the next Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions.
I agree with you. I am excited to see where things go. And literally, as soon as I saw her come out with them, I was like, they look incredible. They can walk the walk. We had this tease with the Infantry already. Comes out with Trisha Dora. And we get an immediate follow-up with that. And I was like, okay, me and SP3, we're doing more manifesting. We manifested that Texas Deathmatch. More white girl manifesting over here. We love that for us. But Carly Bravo, Sean Dean, and Trisha Dora are cutting a promo backstage where they said Top Flight was all over AEW and ROH television. And they wanted their dues. And Bravo gets interrupted by Miss Layla Gray, who's joining Top Flight. And to that, I say, they should be getting their freaking dues. They're great.
Bravo might be one of the funniest people on this show. Like, he was hilarious. He's like, they got Layla Gray. I've been trying to get Layla Gray for years.
That was very true.
Your Bravo has so much charisma. He is awesome. And I like the fact we got Infantry in two separate backstage segments. This one responding to Top Flight getting the victory and keeping that kind of wheel spinning as far as them and Top Flight, even though they did establish, hey, they're the homies. We cool with them, but we ain't liking the way that they are getting all the attention right now. And then they immediately didn't stop there. They was like, nope, we got to skip the line. We're going right to the tag team champions. We got a 4-match winning streak. We don't care. These guys are undefeated in 2024. We're going right to the titles.
We are on our way to the titles indeed. We kind of are getting a two guys and a girl division. We said this about SmackDown, Alex Pulowski and I, because you just looked around and you were like, all of a sudden, there's so many two guys and a girls division. You have Top Flight with Layla Gray. You have the Infantry, obviously. And the Outrunners seem to be playing with the idea of having a consistent female manager on board. We saw Erica Lee this week. I forget what her name was when they were in Florida for tapings, but she was incredible because she looked like she walked out of an 80s aerobics video. I wish I could remember what her name was, but she was unbelievable with it. Really, really fun stuff. And again, it just felt like storyline in progress. Like, we had angles in tonight's episode, which, while that feels very bare minimum, we were getting a lot of very bare minimum stuff. Taylor Cannon, who just genuinely one of the most supportive, kindest people that comes into our chat, just wanted to say hello to Kate and SP3. Well, hello back to you. And I know I made a Logan Paul joke at the beginning of the episode, but Taylor's like the best of us. And it reminded me to tell you guys that wrestling is for everyone and Fightful is for everyone. And we don't deal with any bullshit around here. So no bullies.
Sami Zayn, greater than.
Damn right.
Sami Zayn.
Damn right. Forever. So good stuff. But guys, yes, the chat is finding out that Layla Hirsch was injured. I know. Yeah. It sucks. It was either a dislocated shoulder or elbow. I'm still trying to get clarity on that. But that was announced actually right before this next match between Robin Renegade and Maya World. Excited to see that she was getting continued reps. I don't know if that was just because she was on the circuit that was available while she was on Collision and stuff, like if it just was a symptom of her being around. But Robin Renegade gets the win with that pump handle flatliner that looked really good here. I like that as a finisher. But Maya World is great. Like, they... It's so funny because for literally years, I was just like, where's the investment in the women's division? Like, where is it? Because we keep bringing in people and throwing them off TV, right? Taya Valkyrie was that way. Saraya, I know she had health complications and stuff, but, like, she didn't take to it. Toni Storm got pushed, but I was like, why aren't we signing more women who are... There was a good crew that was developing still, but I was like, why aren't we signing all this top-level talent? Where's Willow Nightingale? And they signed her and all these things. And now I'm like, it is getting crowded over here. And it feels like it happened so fast. But I feel like if there's anything wrestling has showed us over the past year, it's almost like you need a bloated roster because people get injured like crazy. And there's just genuinely a lot of shows. You've got Dynamite, you've got Rampage, you've got Ring of Honor, and you've got Collision. There's a lot of hours of wrestling and a lot of matches going on. So I think it's good to have some people that you can just rely on around. And Maya World, I think, has a very high ceiling. We've seen some really good stuff for her. Really engaging energy about her. Like, just from the second that she steps into the ring, you're kind of, you get curious about this woman. You're like, what is she all about, Maya World? Tell me about Maya World. I say a mixed tag team with Jeff Jarrett because my world, Brewu, Brewu. I think that's where we have to go with this. I don't think we have a choice.
The perfect setup.
It really is. I'm not even one of you Jeff Jarrett perverts out there, but it is sitting right there for us. What did you think of this match? And what are your thoughts on my world? Do you think she's just here for an abbreviated run while they're in the Texas area? Or are you thinking maybe they've got eyes for her longer term?
I'm hoping they do. I said on Twitter for this matchup, it was like two people doing their tryouts. You had Robin Renegade trying out for Money Corporation, which should really be Money Inc. I'm sorry. Copyrights be damned. It should have been Money Inc. CEO. I want to see her do the dance with Mercedes along with Charlotte Renegade. We need a whole stable with Mercedes, Camille, and the Renegade. And then you got Maya World, who needs to skip the line of Billy Starks and become a minion in MIT. I think that's the next chapter of the MIT that will eventually lead to Billy finally being like, all right, that's enough. Lexi already is ahead of me. Now you're bringing in your trainee to get in the minion in MIT, and she's skipping over me as well, and she could treat her like the teacher's pet that she is. I think that is what needs to happen. We need Maya World in MIT. This is a good tryout for her, despite taking the loss. And yeah, I like that she has like charisma, she has good presence, and she just needs to be developed and being here on Ring of Honor and working under her already trainer in Athena. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts because I feel like we saw this incredible crop of women's independent wrestling talent rise. And then a lot of them got signed. And now I think you're starting to see like Maggie Lee and Maya World and this next group coming up. It is so cool how we're getting this like get signed and replenish, get signed and replenish. Like, I love to see that. I still don't know how Becca is walking around unsigned. I cannot believe NXT has not come calling for her. I say that as often as I can because she's like so patented for they would have. Hey, do you want someone you have to do zero work with? How about this woman is like still mind-boggling to me, but we move along.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To this backstage with Melissa Santos. Now, notably, she was signed more recently. It feels like she might be exclusive to the Ring of Honor brand, and I kind of dig that. I think it's good that they have a patented person for backstage interviews for ROH, because I could see them. I mean, Lexi Nair is in Minion School, right? But
yes,
like, if they wanted to make her the Collision gal and Renee the Dynamite gal and Melissa the ROH gal, I think that would be good. And not saying that they can't cross over into each other's worlds, but if you're like anchor, that's cool. Like, that's cool, yeah, by me. So I'm into that. But she's backstage with Anthony Henry, who's interrupted by who's just there to wish him luck, which I think is really nice.
We're gonna do it, and we're gonna do it hard.
You love beef. I'm vegan and I love beef. I can't even pretend.
I'm black and I like white trash beef. That's his name. That's his name on Twitter. He liked my tweet and I followed him immediately and said white trash beef. Oh my god.
Oh man. Some good shit there.
He's like, cousin? He was like, no, we're actually second cousins. Hey, cousin.
Look, I know you just figured out that the Iron Savages are a trio, but, like, beef, Savage Sauce, duh. Like, how do you consume your beef? I feel like with Savage Sauce, right?
This is the ultimate rivalry. They're just waiting for JD Drake to come back, but the work horseman with beef. Beef horseman. I mean, that just writes itself. The trio's division in Ring of Honor is bad, baby.
Save your meat matches for, like, whatever. We're talking literal meat here, okay? This is not, like, cutesy whatever. We're talking an actual meat division here where people are named beef. They're not just like, oh, he's a beefy guy. No. We are committed to the bit in Ring of Honor. Thank you very much. That's how we live life here. I love it.
I'm always going to be a fan of a fat man who shows off his belly because he has a tattoo on his belly that says beef.
That's it.
I'm always going to be a fan.
What more could you possibly want in this world?
I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man. Yeah. And why are you wet? You saw me out this.
Because he was bathed in Savage Sauce and needed to shower. That's just what I think. That's what I think. Anthony Henry also getting to show a little bit of personality too, which was nice. Like, he felt very comfortable, obviously. And this was just cute and fun. And I loved it. This was a blast.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Anthony Henry, he worked great as the straight man to beef.
He did. He did good work here. This was a bunch of fun, but I mean, it's kind of nice that we didn't have an obvious match of the night, because I think either one of these, depending on your preference and style, could be considered that. But this was a bunch of fun, and it's what the chat has wanted to talk about most. So getting those super chats and super chats tonight. People just want to talk about Mortos and AR Fox. Man, Mortos, like, if you are actually trying to rebuild a promotion, he's the guy that you can do this for. Sammy versus ROH champ Mortos at Final Battle is Shot Kid's vision. This guy is just special. Like, we saw what he could do basing for luchadors. Air Fox is not a luchador, but he has lucha proclivities, I would say. But he also has a very different and diverse style in general. And he wins with the Destination Hellhole. I did not know that was his finisher until today. I just never clocked it, I don't think. That is the
I didn't even know the name of it. Yes!
Holy shit, that's cool! The Destination Hellhole? Are you kidding me? There's never been a cooler finisher name in the world.
I've been calling it the Beast Driver because I'm lazy. But Destination Hellhole is so much better.
Let's be real. Beast Driver isn't bad, but Destination Hellhole. For a driver, he's like, I'm going to drive you to hell, like into the ground. It's the coolest name. This match was fantastic. SP3, I'll let you call it whatever spots you want to call out or just talk about this. But I loved kind of the story that we got out of this too, which is something I've noticed with Beast Mortos is you don't have to give him a bunch of story for him to go create a story. I think AR Fox is also very good at that. But like, because he's not like a huge dude, he's not beef certainly, but he's a little brick house and he can control pacing just with his movements. And he has, as the kids say, aura up the yin yang. Like this guy, I heard MXM say on a stream, like aura isn't supposed to be like you holding a belt in front of a bunch of fireworks. And I agree. Like, aura is not, you have a championship and pyro's going off around you. Like, aura is bigger than that. And they were kind of naming guys like John Moxley's a guy that has aura, right? I would say Trish Adora is certainly someone that falls into that category. She's one of the first people I think of when I think about that. And Beast Mortos has aura. Like, he's definitely one of those guys when he steps on screen, you're just like, bam. This match was super fun and as fun as its finisher name, like Chuck in 29 saying it's so unnecessarily extra and I love it. It is not extra. It is directly proportionate, baby. Let's go.
Perfect in my eyes. Yeah, this match was so much fun. And like, it just made me, I had thoughts going through my head as I'm watching all this high flying stuff from AR Fox. And I'm like, I want to visit the multiverse where AR Fox could travel to London last year and didn't get excommunicated from Mogul Embassy and where his career would be at. But I love the fact that we have him here and we can see a fun matchup with Beast Mortos. My favorite spot is when AR Fox sat him in the chair and did the run around the ring, and Mortos catches him with a headbutt, and then he sits him down in the chair and tries to run around the ring, but AR Fox runs through and it's open to a Cena into like the barricade. I was laughing so much. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And Beast Mortos has been on a hell of a run right now. Like the matchup that we talked about with Commander at Death Before Dishonor was just a awesome Lucha Libre showcase. And then one night later, he goes out there and outdoes himself with Hologram in one of the best collision matches of the year, like a top five collision match for me this year with that matchup that they had on Saturday.
And crowd then he was hot for win. That too, man. Crowd was really hot for Hologram in that too.
They love that matchup. And then he beats Mark Briscoe on Dynamite this week with the Destination Hellhole, pinning the Ring of Honor World Champion. And then he comes out here and has arguably the match of the night with AR Fox and, you know, another high-flying guy that can move around. But Beast Mortos in that six-man, it made me realize who he is. He is Tomohiro Ishii if he was a Mexican bull. Like, it's like they are the same compact style, but like he has more power, he has more like kind of like that intensity to him, and just he just has these different types of matches depending on what type of high flyer or what type of performer he's in there with, where he's done it with Darby Allin, he's done it with Rey Fénix this year, he did it with Hologram, and then he did it here with AR Fox. And I like the fact we're seeing Mortos get more and more victories. And I wouldn't be surprised if I think that matchup might happen on a Ring of Honor episode God willing, fingers crossed, that we get Beast Mortals versus Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Just keep letting them stack up victories, and we can get a big world title match on this show, and I would love to talk about that because Mark Briscoe is one of my favorites. Beast Mortals is probably my favorite luchador right now, and he's just killing it right now ever since he signed full-time with ROH and AEW.
It's so funny. Alex Pulaski on our Collision review on Select made the same reference that you did to Ishii, talking about the similarities of their styles. I have heard multiple people, I am one of them, calling for a tag team with Roosh. I would much prefer them to team Yo Listen at this point. So I'm kind of just over anything to do with the Acclaimed. But man, and now for something completely different, because I don't know if you guys know this, but MXM is going to come all over you. So ShotKid29 saying, I'd like to file a request. From the left. Right? They're always going to come on top. So ShotKid29 saying, I'd like to file a formal request to rename Ring of Honor Ring of Hotties. More of tonight, please. I am so excited that they have been so well received on all three shows that they have showed up to. Touch and tips. There we go. Touch and tips over here. If Tony Khan can do it, we can do it, right? I think that works.
It works.
But man, big showing for them on Collision. I saw a lot of people being like, oh, okay, MXM can go. They got a good reception for the Rampage taping, I was told, when they came out with Tony Khan. I'm just over the moon that people are seeing what they can do and latching onto it. And I said on our Death Before Dishonor post show, there's just something a little different where it feels like we are laughing at the things that they are doing to pop us rather than laughing at them, which is how the presentation resonated with me and WWE. I think part of it was just like LA Knight didn't want to be doing it and that they didn't really know where it was going and things like that. So, but like there are so many things that they are doing in ring that are absolutely hysterical. And then you get promos like tonight where Matt Sorg just feeling himself, and Mason is talking about how they're going to come all over you here at Ring of Honor. Like, what more do you want from these maximum male collection models, whatever you want to call them, MXM collection here? I see this, and I have to call it out. I wonder if Shane and TK touched tips in their meeting. I don't know. I can certainly make an inquiry, but he definitely tweeted, they used to touch tips with me when he saw them on TV. So, and there's a transference there. At the very least, they're like Eskimo Brothers or whatever it's called, right? Yeah, so there you go. But just another very silly vignette. And it feels like they're being presented as a big deal in the ROH division. I don't mind people in ROH getting reps in AEW as well. I mind them being champions in ROH and only being in AEW. That's where my complaint is. So when I say things like split the roster, I mean that aspect of it. But Wrestle where you're getting paid to, man. But this is just more silly and good fun from MXM. Your thoughts on this?
My favorite not line was Mantor saying, that's not the first time a big burly man slapped my breast.
It won't be the last.
Oh my God. Their delivery is so good. I love it. I love MXM right
now. They have impeccable timing both in these promos, like comedically, but they also have it in the ring. Like that spot on Saturday where Mansoor jumped into Mason's arms, like right as the leg sweep was coming in from Cash, like that was all perfectly timed. And they held the pose for the exact amount of time. And Mansoor had like a more comedic face on, and Mason was just like looking straight ahead, dead serious. Like they are so in control of all this. And it's going to be really refreshing to have an act like that around, I think.
100% agree.
ShotKid29 saying MXM is really going to straddle that line with the TV-14 rating when they're on TV, and it's going to be great. I see nothing wrong with that statement. The chat calling for a Tony Storm and MXM interaction. I'm with it, man. It's very fun having these silly little guys running around. It adds so much flavor to things, but me and Norma saying, sorry I'm late. We'll forgive you, I guess. Lots of meat business tonight. Now let's crank. Was any ground proven, or was there any quality restaurant meat slapping? I can't believe you missed our whole discussion about beef, me Norvis. It's so up your alley, me Norvis, but we had you're going to want to go 15 minutes or so back in this episode. We talked a lot about meat because we had a guy who's just he's white trash beef on the show. So definitely go check that out. But I love this from Ring of Honor. You were saying at the beginning of the episode, we get this like buffet of wrestling. I would say going from Beast Mortos and AR Fox to MXM Collection saying they're going to come all over everybody to Wheeler Yuta and Anthony Henry is a fantastic example of that. And this match was great. We do get this promo from Lee Moriarty after this saying that they're basically rebuilding the Pure Division, which is good because I have bashed my head into a wall far too many times for them not doing that. But like with a lot of fire and a lot of passion, and it seems like he's taking a lot of pride in that belt. We had said on the Death Before Dishonor post show, Anthony Henry would be great in the Pure Division while JD Drake is out. This match showcased that really well. Wheeler Yuta in his bag when he's like wrestling pure style stuff. He gets the seatbelt cradle win. I don't need to see a rematch out of this, but I do love that he is still kind of chasing that same vibe, right? Like, he should want it back. I don't think he should be the one to get it back. Their first two matches were incredible. I wouldn't be mad about a third one. It's just we saw Wheeler and Danny Garcia do that like 74 times, so I don't need to see that again. Yeah. But, like, there's also no Pure Division, so him being an establishing force in it is something that's really good here. I loved this match. I'm a Tekker sicko. You know that. You are too, in part. So I really liked this, and I love that seatbelt cradle for the win. That's a nice thing for someone of Wheeler's stature to use on a guy like Anthony Henry, who is so damn strong. But your thoughts?
My favorite part, probably my favorite part of like the wrestling on this show, was the sequence where they had the wrist control and you have Anthony Henry on his back doing like bicycle kicks to the chest of Wheeler Yuta. And then Wheeler responds with the Bryan Danielson's like kicking his fucking head in. It was just going back and forth until Wheeler just completely knocks out Henry and then eventually gets the seatbelt pin for the win. It was just really good stuff. Like earlier in the matchup, him going to ringside while Beef was having some popcorn, and he took some of the popcorn. He was like, "Oh, that was a bad idea." I was like, "Yeah, you're eating popcorn as you're wrestling. That's not a good idea. You're gonna choke to death.
You're literally Beef. What are you doing eating popcorn? Honestly."
And then they did the chop exchange and Wheeler's chest. Oh my god! By the end of the matchup, he looked nasty.
It was
ground
Beef by the end of it.
Yeah, it was ground beef. That's why Beef got all sweaty. He got That's all it. Sweaty and excited. He was
That's
like,
it.
Ooh, I'm having fun. I'm cheering for my second cousin. But it was just good stuff. Good stuff between these two guys. I probably would lean more towards Beast Mortis and AR Fox for match of the night, but if you said Wheeler Yuta and Anthony Henry was your match of the night, I'm not going to argue with you because both matches were really good. And I don't remember with these two matches and Cage and Rocky in the main event, when was the last time we had three really good matches on a Ring of Honor episode? It's been quite some time.
It has, and all of them, part of having a great match is like feeling like there's a purpose and something you're fighting for. So we got that there. But I do just want to call this out because this shit just makes me so happy. Frantic World saying, MXM promo with Mercedes and Camille would be great. MXM interaction with Moxley. MXM versus Claudio and Yuta. MXM with Dalton Wen. MXMX Mox. Like, I love that people... This is what's fun when you have a team that has big personalities, but it's not to overcompensate for the fact that they can't work. Because they could do... Here's the one. MXM bitches with Okada all day. I just love that. I love that we have a lot of big personalities around, but nobody that's quite like in this vein of what MXM are doing. So it makes me feel very happy that they are being presented as someone that everybody wants to latch onto rather than somebody that people are pointing and laughing at. But guys, get in those super chats. We are coming down the home stretch here. You're going to have your TNA post show at the back end of this. We had Mustafa Ali and Nick Nemeth. There was a wrestling wedding. So much to talk about on the TNA side of things. Joel Pearl and Cresta will have you covered. I'm going to leave a little hint for you guys about something. We've got a pretty fun little sponsor situation that's going to be running tomorrow through next Wednesday. So you're going to want to tune into all of our post shows as usual, but you're also going to want to follow us on social media. There's going to be some cool things that we have going on, and you're going to want to see what this sponsor has to offer in particular. So be sure to be following us on social media, and you'll get to see images of what I'm talking about on our post shows as well. But we always appreciate the social support, and these are pictures you're going to want to click and see. There's some fun stuff. So it's not Wingstop. You're very funny in the chat. Man, that's like the only time. No, Stokely was when he was Malcolm Bivens was all about Zaxby's, right? I get my wings spots mixed up. I was gonna say now he should be vying for that. He should be trying to get a Zaxby's sponsorship to counter program. Look, if WWE is gonna run a 3-hour post show to counteract Collision, I think Stokely Hathaway at minimum should be countering the wing spot one with Zaxby's.
Zaxby's.
But we move along here, the premier athletes, Aria Daivari and Tony Nese, with Mark Sterling, defeat the superstars, Nikki 8 and Tommy Mars. And I got to say, unfortunately for Nikki 8, he had not 8 by the end of this match. They lost.
ATE.
No, yeah. ATE. No, they took a frog splash from Aria Daivari on Mars here, and they lost. Maybe Nikki 1-7 would have had a better shot, but... The premier athletes functioning as a tag team here getting a win. I am fine with that, but Josh Woods needs to then be getting singles wins and not being the guy who loses on Collision in this trio. Like, that was very, very silly of them. He's a superstar. But this is perfectly fine. It just makes me curious. Like, do we now have a loaded tag division after having one that we didn't know if it existed? Like, where are we going with all this? I'm actually excited to find out, but perfectly serviceable match here. Not much to write home about with the superstars doing their job as well as they could.
Yeah, it was pretty much a squash. I like the premier athletes picking up a win here. I just want to see them kind of go fully to Ring of Honor. If they're going to get wins in Ring of Honor and not just be the perennial job guys on Collision, I think that's the way to go.
It's true. It's true, and I'll tell you what else. If you don't know what way to go, there's only one man who can inspire you and motivate you in this world, and that is beef, because we got another little thing here.
Two-segment beef!
Double beef segment, okay? Anthony Henry is backstage cutting a promo, and Beef is just hyping him up after his loss. This was all just very funny. This was all very funny. Seems like we're screaming for something to happen with Iron Savages between the names and the personality. Like, it has to happen, like, properly, I feel like. I don't have a lot of thoughts on this. It was just very fun.
This is where he had his great catchphrase, "We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it hard." And Beef, baby! I love him.
See,
send me a beef shirt.
Send him a beef shirt. Send him a beef shirt. Now that feels like they're calling out MXM too. Like, I feel like this tag division is really it's starting to heat up here. So, and it's all because of beef.
This episode is getting a thumbs up for me because we had beef.
Because beef. Well, we go from a thumbs up to a Tornado DDT, Fuego del Sol, against Jacoby Watts, who finally gets in the ring after making Nick Camarado do so much work for him in previous outings. Interesting wrinkle. I don't know if they've just dropped the storyline because we hadn't seen it for like probably 3 or 4 weeks. No idea. No idea if somebody was banged up. No idea if they just felt it wasn't clicking, whatever. But Jacoby Watts back today and in ring. Fuego picking up the win. We'll love to see Fuego back in the fold on a more regular basis. Not sure if it's just for these Texas tapings as well, but he is fantastic. I think this might be Fuego 3. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but fun stuff. Always good to see Fuego in action. Shaka 29 saying, I think you mean Fuego del Swole. He does look like he heard us talking about beef so much. He was like, I gotta go get jacked, man. We gotta
and good shout out by A-Shock. We can get the Sammy and Fuego tag team that they always tease but never delivered in AEW.
There you go. Let's go, Ring of Honor.
The Vlog Squad is back. Get Marco on Ring of Honor too. Why not?
That's right. That's right. We saw him making a triumphant return. We love that.
Exactly.
Me, Norma's chiming in and saying, here's a small sack of money for two beef segments. That's what's up. We love that here, but
beef equals money. Beef equals money. Beef money.
Beef is the money. Beef. Money.
Money.
Money. Money. Money. Money. Good shit here. Good shit. We get your ROH World Women's Forever Champion. She could win with no legs. She could win with no arms. She could win with no torso. She can win however you need to. Athena is confused with Billy Starks. Confused Billy Starks with Lexi Nair before she thanked Lexi Nair for assisting in the match against Queen Naminata, which a very fun way to progress what's going on with the dissension in Minion University over here. So this is perfectly fun. This is a good way to just have her on the show if she's not going to have a match. Listen, the news about Beth Phoenix broke. I said it on the Death Before Dishonor post show. Give me Athena versus Beth. I tweeted it. She retweeted it and said, yes, please. Beth Phoenix, ROH match. And this came up yesterday, too, on my Mark Order podcast. They have not had a veteran women's presence, really, of like in like a legend sense that was active. Like, they never had a women's version of Sting around to do stuff. Like, I would love to see Beth Phoenix and that kind of run. But as far as this segment goes, this was adorable. I love this, like, half serious, half silly stuff with Athena mixing up Billy and Lexi Nair. This is all a great way to quickly advance what is going on here. Any thoughts from you?
Yeah, it was a quick, efficient way to kind of set up the next chapter of the Minion Saga. That's what I'm calling it. The Minion Saga.
I love that. Absolutely. The Iliad, the Odyssey, and the Minions? All day, please.
Got me all there. Day. You got me there.
Well, this was one of the more superfluous things on the show, but I never complain when Rocky Romero is in action. I was glad that he got a rep here because we haven't seen him in a while since the best friends fell apart. I'm sure Trent being for realsies injured has a lot to do with that, but Brian Cage getting the W with the drill claw here. This is another one that we were like, what is Cage of Agony doing? Who are they? It felt like this episode had a ton of clarity behind it. I don't know if this means Brian Cage is going to be a single star in ROH or not, but what we do know is this men's singles division has had Lee Johnson and nobody else for like 3 months. So it had Kyle Fletcher as a champion. It had Mark Briscoe as an absent champion. Not a lot of other people around. So I would be all for that. Any thoughts on this final match?
I thought this was another good matchup on the show. It probably would have been my match of the night if not for the little botch towards the end when Cage really didn't look sure on what he wanted to do. I've seen him do the move before where he steps up onto the rope and does like the tour of the islands off the second rope. But it was just like he wasn't sure at first, and then he tried to do it and then Rocky fell, and then he had to bring him back and nearly just drop Rocky on his head. So that was kind of you're already going to drop him on his head for your finish, so you don't need to do it twice. But he still picks up the win here. And I like the fact, you know, Cage picks up the win because he can easily get a shot at Atlantis Jr. for the TV title, easily get be in position to get a shot at Mark Briscoe for the world title. You got Brian Cage now. You got Sammy Guevara now in the mix. You got Beast Mortals picking up some wins. We still got Lee Johnson. It seems like the men's division is stacking up. It seems like, you know, Kyle Fletcher is becoming Machine Gun Kelly and getting a role on AEW so he can move on from Ring of Honor for now. And now we got the pieces to kind of build out the TV and world title division over here. So thumbs up for that.
I agree. And Rocky is so great at doing whatever he needs to do. But that spot with Brian Cage was scary. When you said it fell short, it reminded me of when when people fall short on a coast to coast. Alex Pulaski calls it a coast to Idaho. And it's my favorite thing ever. He's like, well, it didn't quite go coast to coast. More of a coast to Idaho. It is. This wasn't like a tour of the island so much as it was like just a tour of like one Hawaiian island or something. I don't know. Like it just was like Maui or whatever. It didn't quite make it around where we needed to go, but some good stuff there. And then we end the show on the big angle that we talked about earlier, but we do also get the Undisputed Kingdom saying that they deliver every time and that their lights shine the brightest on them, but they are interrupted by the infantry who demand a tag title rematch. Bennett and Taven accept, but tell them it's going to be the same result as last time. But everything that we were complaining about SP3 seems to be getting addressed. And when I say everything we've been complaining about, I mean specifically you and I. We're going to bring Cresta and Joel on here in a minute, but like I've been shouting, like, what are we fighting for the Iron Savages? What are the infantry fighting for? It took like this much work, and so many of my complaints are addressed. So it's really refreshing to see. And I think it means that you and I are very powerful. Any closing thoughts from you?
I want y'all to keep supporting us so we can keep manifesting the things that we need from Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor can become whole, and I can save this list that I had since last week until like a month from now when they give us a 1 hour episode again.
Yeah, we also started late. I had your list on my mind, but I was like, we actually have a lot to talk about tonight.
Exactly.
And I got started 5 minutes late on our end, so we will get back to the SP3 list, which will undoubtedly have Brian Danielson at the top of them, just to piss off Nigel McGuinness. But we're going to bring on Joel and Cresta to talk to you all about TNA. There was a wrestling wedding. There was Nick Nemeth and Mustafa Ali. There was so much happening. Joel is crying because he was so moved by this wrestling wedding.
I was there live for it, and it's so much better the second time.
I'm sure. Just beautiful. Hi, Cresta. How you doing?
Hi. My voice is a little hoarse. I'm so sorry, y'all. My voice took a walk, so this is what we're getting. I'm here. It sounds worse than it is. I'm so excited, I assure you.
Because you were a performer extraordinaire. I liked your dance where you went down and did the little walk.
Oh, the duck walk.
It was great. It was great.
My knees are disintegrating in 4K. That's what you're watching.
Well, we got you on here late, so we're going to get out of here immediately. We're going to let Cresta get to her vocal rest as soon as she needs to. But stay tuned for the TNA post show. They have a lot to talk about. We had so much fun with tonight's episode. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Beep. Hey, SP3. He's
SP3
gone.
Said, wait, I'm out of here.
Kate, happy August 1st warning to you.
Happy August 1st warning to you as well.
Say hi to Tito for me.
I absolutely will. Love Tito so much. Bye.
All right. I missed SP3 because he would absolutely have gotten that too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.